Do you recall your feelings that first day when you went in and saw this? I mean, you've never worked in an industrial mm-hmm. setting like that. Do you recall how you felt?
I was startled at first. I said, this place is so huge. I've never been in a factory like this. And I used to get lost going from one department till finally I got to know the other girls and I'd try to see them and go in and go out with them. And it threw me. I guess I didn't expect it to be, because that building is pretty large when you get in there, and each floor had something different. So you had to go to that certain floor.
How many floors were there in that building? Do you recall?
I think there's seven.
Mm-hmm.
Six or seven, something like that.
Each floor would be just an entire open floor?
No, there was... Yes, it was open, you're right. And you'd see them working. Right. No, there was... The only thing that would be enclosed would be the tool shed and the office. Each
mm-hmm.
floor had an office for the nurse and all that stuff, and of course the restrooms, you know.
What floor did you work on when you first started? Your
I office? Think it was the fourth floor.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that was all wing?
All this section of the wing. I don't remember,
mm-hmm.
but it was a certain section of the wing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all they did there.
And do you recall walking in that first day how you felt as a woman? Were there, what proportion of women did there seem to be there?
Oh, I'd say always there. I'd say more than 50% was
mm-hmm.
women. More than 50%. Very few men. As time went on, the men, very few young boys. And mostly older men.
Mm-hmm. Now, how were you greeted and then taken to your assigned to the particular job you were going to do? Do you recall?
No, but I think you walked in, went to the personnel office, and they usually had somebody working there that would take you to the place where you were going to work, because it was so big that they couldn't say go to so-and-so. They'd take you there, and then you were left there, and that was it.
And then you were shown by the lead man what to
uh-huh,
do?
Mm-hmm. Not really. The lead man took care of that section,
mm-hmm.
but there was always somebody, like he'd say, okay, Mary Jane, you break her in.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to do this and that and the other, and since you've been doing it, you can more or less supervise.
Do you recall who broke you in?
Janet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come we got real friendly. And mainly they put you to drill to our particular thing to try to do those holes perfectly straight. Until you could control, then they'd start breaking you in on the wings, on drilling the wings. Because I guess that steel was so thick that it was very easy to get your
mm-hmm.
thing on an angle.
So you would drill on some sample portion before you actually
mm-hmm,
drilled on the wing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to catch on?
I don't think it took very long, because it was just the idea of controlling your wrist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holding that up there.
Within a day, were you already working?
Oh, yes, I think so.
How did you feel by the time your break time came? Do you remember?
I think, to me, it was so different that I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed working with a... That's when my first feeling came that I liked to work with people, and with a lot of people. I felt comfortable. And I accepted it. I don't think I could ever say that... the fact that I was so willing to work overtime, any time there was overtime, I don't think I was too tired.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel physically after that first day? How did your wrist and arm feel? Do you remember?
No, I don't think it made such a deep impression on me to say that, oh, my arm was breaking up. No, I don't have any recollection of being exhausted to the sense of the word. And like I said, if I was willing to work overtime, must have been possible. I must have been in good physical condition at the time to be able to take that. Or probably the job was just right for me.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the doing this much more physical work than you'd been doing?
It was all right, because we weren't... sit-at-home type, you know. We were into so much activity that it was all right. It didn't bother me. I don't think it bothered me at all.
When you first started, when she first started showing you, did you have any doubts that you would be able to do it all right?
I guess so. I didn't think I found it so hard to do such a hard job.
Do you recall who the other, on this first crew when you got assigned to drilling on the wings, who were the others in the crew? Do you recall what the composition of that crew would have been?
I recall two, three other girls that we were friendly with, but the ones that were closest to you or that you would go to lunch with were just a few there, you know. That's Jeanette, like I say, was Italian, and there was Tilly, Mary. I don't think any of them really, just friends, just mm-hmm. working, nothing impressive, you know.
But out of the crew of, say, 20 to 30, how many were how many men were on the crew?
Maybe four. Maybe about four. So I know there wasn't very many mm-hmm. men there.
And were they doing the same work as the women?
No, they would do clamping, moving the things, doing the heavier mm-hmm. part, clamping the things in place, putting the wing in its proper place so you could work on it.
Mm-hmm. And what, my sense is that down at that 7th and Santa Fe plant is where there was a much higher proportion of black and Mexican workers. Do you recall, for instance, on your crew, were there any black women and were there other Mexican women?
Yeah, there was other Mexican women. But I think I don't recall too many colored girls there. I know there was other Mexican women there, but not that many colored. Probably in our little section there, but when we'd go out to lunch, I'd see a lot of them. Because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. There's a big place, parking lot there mm-hmm. to go out to eat. But I don't recall in our little group seeing too many of them there. So maybe it just happened that I happened to be in that group and the others were over mm-hmm. here. But I had my work to do and that was it.
How long did you stay doing that work?
At Lockheed?
No, at the drilling. Before you asked to be transferred.
God, I don't remember. Because I was trying to figure out when I start working back in beauty support work, my girlfriend was pregnant, and she says, she was giving me dates, and I thought I'd written them down, and I had them, but now I don't know where I'd put them. About a year, probably. Because I didn't work too long for Lockheed. I don't think I worked over 2 years or 3 at the most.
Mm. So it was for about a year that you worked.
Probably.
Mm. And did the job change at all, or during that year did you basically do the same job?
The same thing, drilling, always.
And how about your crew? Did the crew change, or did that remain fairly constant?
About constant, mm-hmm. yes. I don't remember much of a change. But I know that I started complaining about my legs, and you didn't change jobs just because you had a whim that you wanted to go work over there. You really had to have a reason, and especially if you were a good, steady employee, you know, that they could depend on you to go pay work overtime. They were kind of reluctant to change you. But my leg was bothering me, and I had gone to the doctor and gotten shots for it. For veins.
At the company?
No, on my own. On my own, yeah. So I actually had a good reason for it. So it took a while, because I recall I had to get certificate from the doctor and all that to be released from that position to go work in the other, mm-hmm. in the tools. Then to get out of Lockheed, too, it was hard. You didn't just up and quit.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more during the, when you were still working during the drilling.
Mm-hmm.
What would your day be like? You would get there at what time?
I think it was 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a coffee break. You had breaks. They were pretty good about giving you breaks. And then I think you had one break in the morning. It was one break in the morning, then you had your lunch. Then you had a break in the afternoon.
And what would you do on your breaks in at lunchtime?
Well, you could go to the room and have coffee. I thought they would go with those, Nina and her husband, because they have a car similar to that. They have regular rooms where you could go and sit, lounge, the ladies' lounge. Or sometimes you just sat there by the thing and had a Coke or stood there and just talked to your girlfriend or something, rest a while.
And how about at lunchtime, what would you do?
Lunchtime, usually we went to this, there's a big, like a parking lot. And they had lunch counter there. If you brought your lunch, you could buy your drink there. Sit around and talk there.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom went out and went to the restaurants around there. Usually I always brought something.
Was it covered? Was there cover over the parking lot? And what would happen, for instance, during the rain, or as the weather got cooler?
I don't remember. I know there was a fence around it. You couldn't just walk in there. And it was toward that way. But I don't recall really weathering the elements or worrying about that. But I imagine there must have been a covering on one section there. But I don't remember.
And who would you go to lunch with usually?
Usually with Janet. Janet mm-hmm. and I used to stick around together most of the time. We didn't go out together after work. This was my friend over there at work. And we'd meet there at work and we'd usually go to lunch together.
Mm-hmm. What was her background? What was?
She was Italian.
Mm-hmm. And how old was she?
I think she was about my age. And in fact, she met my husband too, Manetti, and she was quite a card, quite a girl. Her ambition in life was to have her nose changed. Because she was a very pretty girl, but she had a huge nose, and she had it done.
During the war?
Around that time. Mm-hmm. I know that I saw her afterward, and it sure made a lot of difference, because mm-hmm. she was a very attractive girl, nice looking and figure and everything. She had this huge nose. She used to make fun. She'd say, when I go around this wing, you see my nose coming around before I get around there.
Was she single?
Yes.
How about the other women in your crew? Were most of them single or married?
No, there were some married women. Yeah, there were some older women that obviously were married, or we assumed they were married, I guess. But I just happened to hit it off with her and get along mm-hmm. with her.
How aware and self-conscious were you about the war and what was going on in the war? Is this something you would talk about at work at all with the others? It's by that, because mm-hmm. your brothers then went into the service.
Yeah, we were pretty aware of it. A lot of us had boyfriends in the service and people we'd write to, or just friends. I would write to 3-4 different fellows that were in the service. And it was so funny, sometimes I was too tired, like when we were in this this working over there, and the girls would laugh because I'd get the typewriter and I'd put a carbon cup, you know, and type 3-4 letters. They went, shame on you, Margaret, isn't it? But I was just exhausted. And what was I going to tell this one? The same thing I was going to tell the other one. I wasn't going to get personal with any one of them. So I would write the same letter to all of them.
Now, tell me what your day was like then during this, when you first started working, because you would get off work probably about, what, 3:30 or 4?
Yeah, 3:30, I think it was.
And then when did you start doing the volunteer work?
That was from 8 to 12. 8 to 12 at night, 4 hours.
And when did you start that, do you recall?
I had 43, I think, on there. In that little card I gave you, I think it says 43, doesn't it? I went to.
So you've been working at Lockheed for a while, probably, before you started.
I think not too long. Because I think there was a couple of our customers that were, when I was working with Molly, that were talking that they were going there, two Jewish girls. Sylvia, and I forget the name of the other. They were going to this thing, and they were trying to get Molly and I involved on it.
In this?
Yeah, communications.
But this was part of the Citizens Defense Group,
right.
Oh, so it was even before you started working at Molly?
I'd heard about it.
Talk about it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'd heard about it. But I actually didn't start going there till I'm pretty sure I was already at Lockheed when I started going there.
What was the the attraction of it when they would talk about it, for instance?
Well, actually, that the danger of us being attacked of planes, and we would help by being there, you know, communicating and training us, because there was a huge hall under the police station with all these phones that were manned there and switchboards there. And
what was it exactly that you were supposed to be doing?
In case of attack, we had certain air raid wardens, certain people that we had to call and communicate with and tell them what to do. And we had a certain section of the city that this particular station were in charge. So there was 8 of us on duty every night. And if we were tired, 4 would go and relax and 4 would stay there. So they didn't keep us awake all night. They were pretty nice about that. Because I recall there being bunk beds where we'd lie down for a while. If you worked, sometimes you were exhausted.
But basically it was kind of standing by in case of emergency. There wasn't really very much to do.
No. Just more like a standby.
But you showed me pictures where you actually had some sort of uniform.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
What was that like?
It almost, I think it was copied from the Waves, because it was almost like the Waves uniform. Almost like it. And we'd help in we had like service men's clubs. We'd have dances, and we'd serve coffee, donuts.
Or the USO clubs?
Sort of in the USO deal. We'd go to the USO club in Hollywood. We'd have dances for servicemen on right near the telephone company in downtown. They'd close it all out completely, and it was right there. Or we'd go visit Sawtown. Mm-hmm. We'd do a lot of little activities like that.
Now, did you have friends who were working there, too?
Molly.
Oh, Molly did start doing it, too.
Molly and I both went in at the same time.
How did your mother react to your going to, for instance, these dances for servicemen?
Oh, she thought it was all right, because her sons were in the service, so she didn't see anything wrong with it. And we were doing, she was so wrapped up in missing her boys, in a way, that she didn't see anything wrong with the servicemen. Her sons were servicemen.
Now, what about her feelings about your working at Lockheed?
Well, she preferred, she thought it would be too hard physically for me. And she preferred that I stay with Molly. But I wanted to do it, and she went along with it. So when I quit and went back to beauty work, she was kind of happy because she thought the other was too hard for me and health-wise, you know. She said, why do you want to go into that? Aren't you afraid it'll be too hard on you? You're going to get sick or something. So she went along with it because I wanted it. But
it sounds like you had a rather hectic schedule, because you would come to work in the morning, get off of work, you just have a few hours, and then go to the Hollenbeck station to do your volunteer work. And then what time would you get home from there?
About one, between 12:30, 1 o'clock. See, I wasn't that far, but they had a regular, like a small station wagon, I say, with seats, and they'd drop us off. You didn't just go home.
See? Would they pick you up, too, or would you
no,
get there on
no,
your own?
No, you'd get there on your own. But they would take you home at that time and drop you off at home.
Well, how much sleep were you getting then?
Not too much. And then Sunday morning, religiously, I went to the 7 o'clock Mass. No matter how late, if I went to a party Saturday night, that's too bad. I still got up and went to Mass in the morning. I may come home and take a nap, but I used to get up and go to a real early Mass all the time.
And when you worked overtime, would you work overtime during the days as well as working Saturday?
I think sometimes we worked overtime during the week, too, when they were on a hurry for something. Sometimes we'd put 10 hours or something like that. Sometimes we were given the choice of working extra during the week instead of on a Saturday. Sometimes I would rather work Saturday than overtime the same day. They told you how many hours this work had to be put out. Mm-hmm. And we're going to run into overtime. Would you rather do it a couple hours every day or do it on Saturday? Don't work on Sunday.
How did you find the job tedious or boring after a while before you switched out of the drilling?
No. Because there was always so much activity. I don't think I found it really boring.
What did you feel about the noise?
Well, the noise was hectic. But the lucky part was the drilling was done in a section far away from us, and we were over this section. But you had to go around past that probably when we're going in, and you would hear that tick-tick.
From the riveting.
Uh-huh. So it was rather noisy up in that area, but our section wasn't noisy because what's zing, it really wasn't.
Was the noise level in your section such that you were able to talk?
Yes.
To say
yes, but we were too busy. We had to, you had to keep your schedule up. Mm-hmm. But we did talk. We did. In between, or while they pull this wing away and bring a new wing, we talk.
How close was your closest partner, worker on the crew to you?
Right next to me, because for instance, she'd be working maybe this section, and I'd be working down here in this section. You can imagine a wing maybe about almost as big as this place, or about halfway up, you know.
Mm-hmm. So about 8 or 10 feet.
Because I know that she would stand or I would stand on the stool and work up here, and the other one would be working down here.
Did you have scaffolding or just a stool?
Stools, like. Mm-hmm.
How much reaching did you have to do then?
No, you had to be right in here.
Because
the idea was to get those holes nice and straight. Mm-hmm. And if you were this way, it'd be kind of hard to control.
What do you recall? You say when you started, you were getting the minimum, which was probably at about 60 cents an hour at that point. Do you recall?
I said as low as that. Wasn't a dollar yet?
No, I think most, I know the riveters, and I think the drillers, too, started
we were still at
60
cents.
Or 65 cents. Do you recall increases? You really, during this whole time, were not reclassified. You were always classified as a driller, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, that's what I was right along. I think there was increases in wages, but I don't know how they came about. It seemed like it to me that we were making more than 60 cents an hour, because even when I stop and think that the beauty work would have paid me that. Just about.
Mm-hmm.
I should have asked Molly.
Well, overtime.
Mm-hmm. My husband's working away over there.
What about, what would you do with your money? Were you turning it over to your mother?
I always tried to give her some, you know. She never put me a schedule to give me so much, or never told any of us that. Because she wasn't depending solely on what we'd give her. She had her own, but it would help her. And she had a habit, like, say we'd give her $5, she'd go out and buy us a blouse, sort of thing like that. Or she'd make us something, because she was a very good sewer. Or she'd knit me. I was very famous for wearing those snoods that they used to wear. Oh, I had every color under the sun. In fact, my niece was remembering. I remember seeing you come with a different color every time to go with your outfit. Well, Mom used to do them for me. So, but we always contributed. We always did. If we had friends over, we'd buy the food, special food, whatever we wanted to serve them. We'd make it.
Were you putting money aside, too? Were you saving? Were you buying more?
Yes. It was almost, you felt like you weren't doing anything if you didn't buy the war bonds. Because it was put to you there at work and everything. So I had quite a few by the time I quit. Of course, the small ones, I think the 18-something.
1875.
Like that. But I always wanted to have a car. I didn't know how to drive, but I always wanted a car, so I was trying to save to get lessons to drive a car, because my sister Rose was the only one that knew how to drive in the family. My dad left three cars, and she was the only one that got a cousin to teach her to drive, so she used to drive us all over, all over, but I always wanted a car myself, but I never did. I don't know what stopped me, what prevented me. I never did. I never did get a car. I always rode the streetcar, the bus.
Now, then you were working, say, about, let me ask you first about the union. When you first started working, do you recall anything about the union?
Well, it was required that you join the union. So you automatically joined the union.
What were your feelings about unions?
It bothered me.
None of your family had been in...
No,
unions
no. Well, it didn't bother me because it went with the job.
So you just basically signed up when you signed up for work. Do you remember union stewards coming around or talking to you ever? Or
I know there was a union steward there. But, I don't think we had any problems that we had to push it. I think it all rode pretty smooth.
So you don't recall any contact whatsoever with the union?
No,
agreement. How about company services at the
like
plant
what?
Itself? The counselors or nurses?
They had nurses. You had cramps or you had any problems or a headache, or you'd go to the first aid and they helped you.
Do you remember any women counselors?
No. No, outside I recall in the employment office, the personnel office, I think, more than the employment. When I wanted to change jobs, I recall having to have to go through an interview with a lady there and expressing myself why I did, and bring in my proofs. So maybe that's what she was. And then I got transferred to the tool shed.
But it sounds like, except the time that you went in to get your transfer, that everything, per se, if it was as much as a year, went along pretty smoothly. If it was the same work, your crew didn't change too much. Your closest associate was Jeanette. You'd have lunch together and maybe take breaks right around your area. That pretty much things went along the same for that year.
Time went by so fast, those hectic years. A year went by before you knew it.
And at the same time, you were doing the Citizens Defense Corps work.
Right.
Did anything change in that work during that period?
No. No, outside of what I told you, the different activities we had, no. Because we used to meet there till it disbanded.
Now, were those activities part of the Citizens Defense Corps, or is that something we just do as individuals?
No. It was part of the Corps. We'd entertain servicemen, go give them coffee, donuts, make them feel at home, especially men that were far away from home, you know, or lonesome or stuff like that. But no personal contact. Like what they say of the Hollywood canteen, it was stressed. You couldn't date them. You couldn't go.